book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Does anybody not have this study sheet? Raise your hand. We'd like to give one to you if you don't have it. Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody got one? Good. I hope you got one on the way in. And let's have a word of prayer. And then we're going to get into the challenge tonight and a time of where you break down into groups and have a little bit of discussion time and prayer time together. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer first. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, really missing some of our people. We've had surgeries and recovering in a way. Pray for Jeff even tonight. And Father, you just be merciful to him and grant him the grace, your strength to help in his time of need. And Father, give him a peace in his heart. These trials so quickly lead us to struggles, and he needs your help there. Father Barbara, she tries to ease the pain, so to speak, and not only through the medication, but Father, we know you can help her. We'd ask if you please, would you help her? And thank you for allowing these people to be here tonight. We want to benefit by our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The most important part about growth in a church is not numbers, but maturity. Now, I have to mention that because several things. Number one, we're used to in the public or in the business world thinking it's all about the numbers. You know, if you're not producing a certain amount of numbers, then a business is seen as unsuccessful, or business might be seen as in decline. And sometimes they got to go in and kind of figure out what's going on. A recent report, I know the majority of you don't care, but the NFL isn't being watched nearly as much as it used to be. And they're kind of concerned about the numbers. Why aren't people watching football, and what can we do to get the fan base back? Well, in church life, it's not about the numbers, it's about the maturity. I think another reason sometimes churches focus on numbers is it's a philosophy thing, or, you know, the pastor gets around with other pastors, and I'm not downing that, but sometimes they hear this church is running this many, and that church is running that many, and they've got this program, and they have that program, so we got to have those programs so we can run that many. And there's a danger in that. Part of the danger is you overlook who you already have. You're doing so much reaching out there for those you don't have, you forget to minister to those who are right in the midst of you. And I think if we would be maturing, even in this passage, I'm not bringing it up because it's in this passage, but even in this passage, it says if the saint is perfected, meaning mended, then they'll do the work of the ministry and they'll edify the body of Christ. The same is not only true in church life, but the same is true in everything. I mean, think of a business that's running well. A business runs well when all of its people come together and they do their job. They don't do everybody else's job. They don't go in there and complain about everybody else and what they're doing about their job. A business is really running well when everyone just goes in and does their job. Now, a business is doing well and enjoyed if at the same time you get along and you work well together and you encourage one another. You know, some businesses are really functioning at a high end financially, but the people can't stand working there. And a lot, because of that, there's a lot of turnover often. Because, wow, really the most important thing, I know finances is up there, but a lot of times people want to enjoy their job. And, well, you might be able to pay me 6 digits a year and go if I, and not enjoy it. I might go to something like that. Pay me $500,000-$600,000 and I'll go even if I don't like it. No, you know, you really want to go a place where you enjoy. Same way in sports, if they're, everyone's doing their job and enjoying it, it can be very, in the family. The family takes everyone working together. Well, look here in Ephesians chapter 4, a verse that I'm going to bring up on December the 4th in Sunday school, okay? Hold me to that. If you come back December 4th in Sunday school, we're going to talk a little bit about this verse again. And so maybe mark this in your mind. We're going to come back. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. This is about the church and its growth. Look what it says. From whom the whole body, so we're a body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. It continues on. When we memorize the first 16 verses of Ephesians 4, I wish we memorized the first 15 verses of Ephesians 4. This verse is so complex, it was really hard to memorize. But would you look at what it says here? Let's go back to the very beginning. We're talking about the whole body. We're talking about the church. The whole body is to be fitly joined together. And it's actually a building term here. The church has been likened unto a building or even the house of God. This is a place where God meets with His people. Now I know this is just a physical building. But when the church collectively comes together, God in a special way meets with them. And He says He wants the whole body to be fitly joined together, and that the definition of that one Greek word using three English words means to be joined closely together. It says we're fitly joined together and compacted. It means to cause a person to unite with another. And then it goes on to say this, by that which every joint supplieth. Now let me ask you, are you a joint? Now, if we were talking about the body, the joint equal sign would be one of the members. A hand, a foot, an eye, and so forth. When it's talking about a building, and it talks about every joint supplied, it's talking about every connecting point. Every place where two Christians come together, it's where Christians are joining together to minister to one another. So here in this passage of Scripture, He says the whole body is supposed to be fitly joined together, meaning to be close to one another, and compacted, meaning to be brought right into, united with one another, by that which every joint, so every part of the body is supposed to be making a bond and making a connection. If you think of the human body, you've heard of what we would call some deformalities, where something's deformed. And I've actually seen it where a guy's hand was connected to his elbow. He was missing his entire forearm. Okay? In the human body, if certain parts are joined together, we would say the body is deformed. Maybe it's because of that. God uses in His Word a number of illustrations for the church. And one of them is, it's like a building, and He says every joint ought to be making a connection somewhere. And what we ought to try to do is have as many connecting points as possible. But what God intends is when the church gets together that they make a connection. Now, one of the things that's concerned me for years, and something that I've discussed with the leadership, and I'm sure others, is the fact that, boy, we live in a generation, and maybe it's just Lancaster County, maybe it's just Mount Zion Baptist Church, but maybe it's generational a little bit. Where years ago, I remember, man, it was like you were connected to everybody. And it was common after church service, especially on a Sunday night, where maybe church service was a little earlier, you ended up at somebody's house and have a fellowship and cover dish or whatever it might be. I remember a lot of Wednesday nights, we ended up at the Doherty's house. Doherty's is Karen's family's house. I grew up with Karen. And a group of guys would be there playing basketball in her driveway. A driveway isn't really that big either, but we'd end up 5-on-5 playing basketball on this little postage stamp of a basketball court. And the ladies would be over fellowshipping, guys. And again, what was happening is there were a lot of connecting points. And I think because sometimes we lack those connecting points, we lack those opportunities. Look at this verse goes on, which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, meaning every part of the body, every part of the building is supplying something for the rest of the building, it maketh increase of the body unto the, what's the next few words, next three words there? Edifying of itself. Now the edifying of itself, what's the last two words? In love. And because the church makes connections, I'm going to say it in this way, it starts to fall in love with one another. Why? Because they've got these multiple connecting points. And what I'm encouraging over some of these Wednesday nights, and we're going to do it again tonight, is we're going to break into some groups. If you're a couple, maybe finding another couple. If it's possible, and you did this about 4 weeks ago when we did it, maybe you want to find the same people that were here, but maybe they're not here tonight, so maybe you want to find some new people tonight. Well, what I'd like us to do is find some people to fellowship together with. Again, we're trying to make some connecting points. And there's something I'd like to do over the time that we have remaining here. First of all, I'd like us to get together and a little bit discuss these things. Number one, what are the reasons you think it's hard for people to connect? Now, you're not being accusatory necessarily, just trying to be informative. Why do you think it's hard sometimes when people come together to church to connect? You can be specific to our church if you want, or in vague. Secondly, what could be done to help people to connect? And then a third thing, what are the benefits of people connecting and ministering to one another? You know, what can be added if we were all ministering to each other like we ought to be? What I'd like us to do is, in just about a minute and a half here, I'd like us to break down again into groups of maybe three, four at the most. Connect through, talk about these three things, then share a couple requests. Now, if you have written out requests, make sure you get them to Ruth Machete, okay, if you would do that. And she will get them out for us and be able to have them posted for everyone. But what we want to do, maybe you can share some prayer requests, and then we'll spend some time together in prayer. So what we're going to do is we're going to take about 25 minutes at this, where you got a little bit of time to share and to talk about these three questions that I have on the sheet, trying to pinpoint some things. And then what we're going to do is share some prayer requests with one another and pray. And let's do this with prayer tonight. If you think of it in your groups, pray for one item. Pray about 30 seconds and then let somebody else pray. And then let somebody else pray. And then you pray again. And just pray for one thing for about 30 seconds, maybe a minute at the most. And just kind of have it. When we went to Bible college, they were always called popcorn prayer meetings. I guess because one person would pop up and pray and then sit down, and I'm not sure why. But let's kind of do it that way. And then at about, Brother Scott, if I can have you at about 5 till, play the piano. And what I'm going to do is come up here, I'm going to get some of your answers to those three questions, and then what we're going to do is have a ministry meeting and be dismissed. So let's break down much time so we don't, please don't give us long detailed answers if you can help us with that. What are some of the reasons you think it's hard for people to connect? I've got a couple of things that we came up with here. But to give a couple other people, like one of the things we came up with is churches a lot of times used to be community. And so you saw each other a lot of times in your community. We had a couple of stores nearby and you almost always saw people in the store from church. I can go months at a time and go out shopping the little bit I do and never see anybody from church, you know. So people are coming in more than just small community. What else do you see as reasons it's hard for people to connect? That's a very shallow one. I'll admit to that. That was Brother Greg.
Our list of excuses are personalities, responsibilities, overdone, no time set aside for it, incompatibilities, and lacking reciprocation.
Wow. Those are the excuses. They've nailed you pretty good. And I would have to agree to those excuses, and they are that, aren't they? And sometimes it does boil down to plain incompatibility, where the Word of God says that we ought to be long-suffering and forbearing one another. So there are spiritual attributes that would lay to rest those types of excuses. So good. Who else? What else did you come up with? Yes, Miss Lois.
Not comfortable
sharing. Okay. And there is something, I think we go to levels, and this is something I'd like to share with you. Like, for instance, this coming Sunday night, we're going to have a fellowship. And we've actually talked about once a month opening the A-frame up to a fellowship after the evening service. Just trying to get people to get to know each other, because you share things, you'll share deeper things with people you have confidence in and trust in and love toward. And if you don't know someone that well, you don't know if you can share that with them or not. But the deeper you know someone, so that's good. Sometimes you're not comfortable. Really got to get to know someone. Sometimes it takes longer to get to know people. And so we're trying to do some small things. You say, well, it's not enough. That isn't the answer. Well, you got to start somewhere. And from there, we can progress forward. And who else? Somebody else? Yes, Wendy.
John had a good one. The modern technology, we're so consumed in, okay, you know, being on the computer, the phone, or whatever, that we don't need anybody else in the room sometimes.
It's good. Good. Yeah, modern technology. We can get really keyed in and focused on some of those small things. Someone, think over here. Yes, Miss Helen. Yeah, some wrong priorities, and they can really make it difficult when we are focusing and wanting the wrong thing. I mean, wanting to get out of church and not fellowship, and sometimes it's true of my life as well. Get something else in your mind, something you want to get done, and miss those priorities. Good. Someone else? Anyone else? Okay, secondly, we wanted to look at, and we had some, people are in their own little world. We talked about just not taking the time, because it takes time and effort. What could be done to help people connect? This could be really focused on our fellowship or just in general. What could be done to help people connect? Yes, Lois?
Reach out and show friendliness.
Okay, good. Just showing friendliness, reaching out. Introducing yourself to someone. Good. Very good. That starts at a very basic level there. Who else? What else? Brother Sean.
Inviting people into your home.
Okay. Inviting people into your home. And we've also talked about through some of our men's meetings of even opening the A-frame, because sometimes till you get to your home, it's late or you're a distance away or full enough in your home that you don't really want five or seven others. You got enough going on in your home. So we've even talked about allowing the A-frame to be used in that way. Somebody wants to have someone over and just have them stop up at the A-frame. Good. Inviting them into your home. What else? Yes, Autumn.
R.C. Sproul is supposed to be coming in and speaking at a concert, free concert. Okay. Everybody in Lancaster. It's just like an idea. There's other events to invite other church members to go out.
Right.
Go out. Yeah, right.
Good. Okay. Good. Wendy, were you going to? Look like you were going to raise your hand when she did. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Greg.
The group thought that it would be good to have numbered seating.
There you go. Who's in your group? See, they can't even stick together in their little group. Boy, we do get, whenever we change the seating, boy, did that ever confuse people. But it also got people to meet people they didn't know before. And we have, over the years, have changed our amount of rows and amount of seats, and I should say amount of aisles. And that really has caused people to be perplexed initially, and but then also get to know other people. So, what, who else? Anyone else? Yes, Tyler.
Just inviting other people, you know, throughout the week, have a scheduled Bible study.
Okay, good. Yeah, ladies had a Bible study last evening. A number of ladies came out to that. And I'm sure through that you get to know people a little bit better. It's on a spiritual level, as one of Zach's suggestion is something spiritual, so you're also getting spiritually fed. Our young people do that some. This Friday night, they're doing a college and career and teen joint activity. And I think that's good because you get to know each other well that way. What are the benefits? What are the benefits then of connecting? Real briefly, we've got about a minute here. What are some of the benefits we can gain by more people connecting with more people? Yes, Tyler.
Stronger church.
Okay, stronger church. Miss Ruth? Oh, good. Understand people better. Great. Who else? What was that? Okay, okay. The idea of getting to know and understanding them better. Good. All right, Annie? Good. Mentoring relationships, being able to mentor one another. Who else? Yes, Autumn.
The body helps grow in love.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Make increase of itself to the increase by the edifying of itself in love. And again, loving each other and wanting to edify and build up one another. So good. Thank you for that time. Next week, we're going to look at the vine and the branches. And we're going to look at an interesting thing. It's not in the scriptures, but it's in nature. And again, it's going to lead more to this idea of that connectivity. And we're going to be looking at through the vine and the branches. We're going to have a ministry meeting here this evening. So if you have the opportunity to stay, please do so. If you need to go get your children, I would encourage you to do so for that as well. So the nursery workers and so forth can get to the ministry meeting if they would like. Thank you for taking that time and fellowshipping.